But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Very good morning to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to another year's Missions in Focus month. The theme for this year's Missions in Focus is, as you see there from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to find our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost ends of the earth. How does the modern church do missions? This morning we're very privileged, thankful, and in fact honored to have the regional director of SIM East Asia, Watson Rajaratnam, here. He's no stranger to our pulpit. In fact, he's our close neighbor most of the time. And we wish he would come more often. And often after Missions in Focus month, when he preaches, I regret the fact that he has to walk around the block instead of jumping over the fence to get back to his home church of the Short Street Tamil Methodist Church, just behind us. Watson is a very singular and gifted member of the missions community. He has spent almost a decade in the field, and more, in fact, elsewhere, but more almost a decade in Africa, somewhere where his heart lies, and he wishes to go back after his spell as regional director, which he very kindly and responsibly, in the true spirit of discipleship, came back to succeed Dr. Stanley Ling at a time of need in SIM East Asia. And now that his term is almost up, he returns to the field. And we thank him for all his contributions there. When he speaks here in Missions in Focus month, his address is nothing less than challenging, insightful, and heart-hitting. And we look forward to his message today. We ask that the Spirit will speak to all of us, that his word will find not just understanding and clarity, but also motivate us to action. So I ask Watson to come forward to share.
Dr. Andrew said he will need only 45 seconds. I think he took more than that to introduce me. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful to God and to the leadership, the pastors of Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church for this opportunity to come and worship the Lord, fellowship with you, and to serve through the sharing of God's word. I never take an opportunity given for granted. And every time I speak as if I'm speaking for the last time. As we see, the reality is today is, this moment is mine. Not today is mine. And tomorrow is not mine at all. Yesterday is history. And so I believe that it's an opportunity given by God to speak his word to his people. And so I stand here with fear and trembling that I am here speaking God's word. And I believe this is one of the last times that I'll be speaking in Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church. As I plan to, as Andrew said, I will be returning to Africa, God willing, next year. And I bring greetings to you on behalf of all the SIM missionaries who are serving in different parts of the world. Let's look at the God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us good health. Thank you for giving us life to be in your church, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We believe that your holy presence is in our midst. Thank you for giving us your word. Speak to me and speak to each one of us, Lord. Help us not to be the same after hearing your word, Father, but help us to respond to your word and be ambassadors of the gospel of Christ. Lord, we commit the rest of the time into your hands, giving you all glory and honor and praises. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic is one of the best topics that I've ever been given to speak. That is finding our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The verse is not new to us. It's a well-known verse that's in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. Let me start with this illustration. There was a German soldier who was wounded in a war, and he was ordered to go to the military hospital for treatment. When he arrived at a large building, he saw two doors, one marked for the slightly wounded, and the other one was marked for the seriously wounded. He entered through the first door and found himself going down a long hall. At the end of it, there were two more doors, one marked for officers only, the other one said for non-officers. He entered through the latter one, he is a non-officer, and he found himself going down another long hall. At the end of it, there were two more doors, one marked for party members, Communist Party members, and the other for non-party members. He took the second door, and when he opened it, he found himself out on the street. The soldier returned home, and his mother asked him, "How did everything go on at the hospital?" And the soldier replied, "Well, mother, to tell you the truth, too many things were there, too many organizations, too many buildings, but they did not do anything for me." The soldier's comment describes the condition of many of the churches today worldwide. Too many structures, too many committees, too many programs, too many activities, but accomplishing very little in terms of souls being added to the kingdom of God and to the church. My dear brothers and sisters, this makes me think. We are talking about the second coming of Jesus, but there are millions of people who have not even heard about the first coming of Jesus. Sometimes I ask myself, what am I doing in Singapore when millions of people, thousands of people in different parts of the world have never heard the gospel even once? What have I done? Have I responded to Acts 1:8, where Jesus has spoken, he spoke these words 2,000 years ago, but the gospel has not reached every person in the world. What is mission? What is mission? Mission is being where God wants us to be. Number two, what is mission? Mission is doing what God wants us to do. And number three, mission is doing what God wants us to do in God's way. The question that Prinsep Street leadership and the congregation need to ask is, as a church, are we where God wants us to be? As a church, are we doing what God wants us to do? As a church, are we doing what God wants us to do in God's way or in our own way? Very often, things are done in our own way. Why? Because there are many challenges. The many challenges, what are the challenges of the church today? Too many programs, activities which are not at all aligned to the church's missions. Not every member participates in those programs, but only the same few members participate in most of the programs. The same people come. When there is a special program, only some people come. The key word is there is no alignment. The programs are not aligned to the purpose and vision and mission of the church. What we need to examine is that, are our programs in the church in line with what God has called us to do as Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church? Are the programs aligned to the church's core missions? That's a question. The second problem is, challenge is, too many volunteers, too few volunteers, and few leaders. Not everyone wants to step into leadership. Not everyone wants to volunteer. You can see the same people in all the committees. Some people have many hats. Nobody wants to take responsibility. People do not volunteer, but they are volunteered. This I call as ecclesiastical gangsterism. Somebody arm twists you and say, you need to be there. You have no choice. So you are there. This is called ecclesiastical gangsterism. Thirdly, leaders are not committed. Leaders are not committed. Some of the leaders only come for special meetings, council meetings, deacons meetings. They don't come for church services sometimes. They don't attend the prayer meetings. They miss committee meetings, trainings, and seminars specially organized for them to be involved in the church. They disregard sometimes even Sunday services. They dishonor God by sometimes not even giving their tithe and offerings. Fourthly, leadership is not clear. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about somebody outside. Leadership is not clear. Members are not, they're not clear about the direction of the church. Where are we going? We don't know. Confusion between destination and direction. That's a problem. The fifth problem is members are not growing. Look at that picture. The body is very big, tummy is very big, but the person is very small. Because congregation is filled with more with the pew warmers, sermon tasters, and spiritual consumers. And they are not spiritually growing. Only few disciples who grow spiritually and help others to grow. That's another challenge in most of the churches. Sixthly, leaders are not united. Challenges in guarding the unity and harmony in the midst of adversity. We are all different. We have different educational background, age background, sometimes even cultural background, racial background. But still we are one, but we are not united. So there are difficulties in bringing ministry leaders under the umbrella of the overriding purpose of the church. That's another challenge. Seventhly, leaders without a clear vision and mission. A leader without a mission, vision is a leader without the ability to contribute to the growth of the church. And a church without a mission is a church without a future. A church without a mission is almost becoming a monument. But a church which writes the future history will be a movement. It is the will of God and it is the desire that God wants Prinsep Street not to become a monument, but to be a movement writing the future history of Singapore and the world. So the key for mission is vision. That is the key. So my dear brothers and sisters, how can we handle this? The critical ways modern church can do mission. I'm going into the subject. What are the ways? By doing the mission that the submissive son Jesus Christ did, which is recorded in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 verses 19 to 22. And in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And also, being a Spirit-led church. The Spirit wants the church to do. And what does the Spirit wants the church to do? That's what we need to do. If we don't do what the Spirit wants to do, and if we do what we want to do, that is not mission, even if we call that as mission. Does God consider that as mission? Not at all. What the Son did, and what the Spirit wanted the church to do. These are the two things that the church, modern church, is called to do. What did the Son do? The mission of the submissive Son. That is very important. That you read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 verses 19 to 20. He said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The first time Jesus called them, he said, come to me. Why? To make fishers of men. Why? Because men and women are lost. Jesus produced disciples. If the church fails to produce disciples, it will be unconsciously producing politicians inside the church. My dear brothers, if the church fails to produce disciples, unconsciously politicians will be growing in number within the church. So, making disciples is very, very critical. What was the mission of the Son? At the heart of this mandate is the commandment to make disciples. And mission here is making disciples. So I want to put the first reflection, set of reflection questions for PSPC. Questions, number one. Are we growing as Christ-like disciples? As I'm standing here and preaching, am I a Christ-like disciple? Can my wife see Christ in me? Can my SIM members see Christ in me? That is very important. Are we being made into true disciples of Jesus in PSPC? Does the church have a discipleship emphasis in all that it does? No disciples, no mission. More disciples, more mission. That's what the Son said. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that is a very, very important subject. So the first way for the modern church to do mission is by turning all members into disciples. All members. We have membership classes. Do we have discipleship classes? I think discipleship is one of the emphases of the church. Praise the Lord. More and more it has to be emphasized. And number two, by turning our membership classes for new members into intentional discipleship sessions. By introducing intentional, active discipleship processes in the church at all levels, children, youth, and leaders. You know, one of the things that came to my heart when I took over as the regional director on that particular morning, the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly. He said, leadership is a responsibility. Discipleship is the call. Roles and responsibilities will change, but the call will never change. My call is to be a disciple of Jesus, but my role is to be a leader. But leadership will change. 1st of April, I'm a free bird. I do not have the responsibility of being the regional director of 2026, but I am a disciple of Jesus forever. My dear brothers, sometimes leaders think that they have graduated and they've got a doctorate in discipleship and they don't need to be disciples at all. But leaders need to ask the question, are we leaders? Are we disciples of Jesus? So we need to have intentional, active discipleship process in the church at all levels and by turning our cell group gatherings into discipleship producing sessions. The question to ask is, are our cell groups producing disciples? The curriculum in our discipleship in the cell group, is it focusing on producing good disciples for God who can fulfill the purpose? Second way the modern church can do the mission, that is how the Spirit wanted the church to do. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, the core verse that I've taken, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. See the bold words, Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So mission without the Holy Spirit is not mission. And missionaries who are trying to do mission without the Holy Spirit are mercenaries. No more missionaries. I'm making very hard statements. And I'm criticizing myself. As a missionary, if I am not led by the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God is not telling me what I should do, and if I'm not filled with the fruit of the Spirit, I'm just here for my sake, not for God. And so, C.T. Studd, missionary to China, India, and Africa, he said, how little chance the Holy Spirit has nowadays. The churches and missionary societies have bound the Holy Spirit in red tape and they have practically asked him to sit in a corner while they are doing the work themselves. That includes even mission organization. I still remember the words of SIM's international director, Joshua Bagunjoko, making a very radical statement, I think in 2020, in Kenya, and I was sitting there. He said, SIM is a dead mission organization if SIM is not led by the Spirit. And I stand by what Joshua said. My dear brothers, I come to the church. Is our church being led by the Spirit? Who is leading? So the key questions are, where does the modern church do mission? How does the modern church do mission? Whom does the modern church should send? Let me answer these three questions and disappear. These are the three questions. Where does the modern church do missions? We need to do the mission in the correct places. What are the correct places? Number one, in Jerusalem. Place called as home. Singapore is home. Mission belongs at home before it can go to the neighboring country. Mission in Singapore is our primary call. Jerusalem, you know, there is an Indian proverb which says, if you do not know how to catch a lizard at home, you don't know how to catch a crocodile. Crocodile is catching people in the mission field. It has to start at home. If I do not know how to share the gospel to my neighbor, if I cannot reflect the Christ character and bring people to the love of Christ in my vicinity, in my residential area, what am I talking about going out to the different parts of the world? So mission begins in Jerusalem, Judea, places close by. Samaria, places with different languages and customs, ends of the earth. I always look at this verse and say, have I fulfilled all that? Can I tick? Almost I've gone to the ends of the earth and I'm still going. I'm going, going, and I'll be gone forever and buried there. So where does the modern church need to do mission? Number one, Jerusalem. What is our Jerusalem today? How can we do that? We as a church need to motivate and equip our members to be witnesses of Jesus in the marketplace in Singapore. What are our activities and programs which equip our members to be involved in marketplace evangelism? We need to equip them in the area of lifestyle and friendship evangelism. These are my topics for Haggai Institute, where I used to teach. Many people do not know. If I'm a doctor, if I'm a professor, if I'm a nurse, even a chartered accountant, how can I be a witness in that marketplace? How can my life be a gospel message to people who come into contact with me? By guiding them to share the gospel with non-Christians and to do soul winning. By doing mission at doorstep through efforts to reach out to the expatriates and the international students here. My dear brothers, you know, there is a random survey here. 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Christ. Is that the case with PSPC? How many people have you led to the Lord? You may say, mind your own business. That's not your business to come and ask that question. I believe it is my business. As a preacher of God's word, on the authority of God's word, it is my responsibility, because I've been given a holy place to stand and speak the holy word. My dear brothers, have you led one person at least to Christ in the whole lifetime? 85% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. And less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. 71% do not give towards the financing of the Great Commission survey. And in a particular denomination, 63% of the leadership in this denomination, including deacons and elders, have not led one stranger to Jesus in the last 2 years. 49% of the leadership ministries spend zero time in an average week ministering outside the church. 89% of the leadership ministries have zero time reserved on their list of weekly priorities to share the gospel. 99% of the leadership ministries believe that every Christian has been commanded. They know what they have to do, but they are not doing what they should do. So that's the reason we come every Sunday and say, Lord, I know what I have to do, but I have not done. Forgive me. And the next day we continue the same sin. My dear brothers, God is not going to be silent. We need to be more serious. At home, we need to be prepared. Equip our church members to be marketplace evangelists. Number two, where must modern church do? Probably Judea, probably Malaysia, or the neighboring country. I don't know. I'm just giving an example. International students are there. International, our brothers, our cousins are there. The Chinese diaspora in Malaysia, or stateless and undocumented refugees are everywhere in the neighboring countries. Mobilization of the churches for mission. Samaria, that is Indonesia. Largest population of our cousins in the world, you find there. My heart breaks. Thousands of dollars, millions of dollars have been invested in Indonesia. But the work still remains unfinished. Why? Because we have not used the right strategy. The total unreached people groups in Indonesia, 164. 25 unreached people groups of less than 5,000 persons. I can go on and on and on. So the Samaria is Indonesia. I'm just giving examples. That's it. And the ends of the earth, that is sent to communities where Christ is least known. Out of the 8 billion of the world population, 3.14 billion are still unreached. And they do not know that Christ died for their sins on the cross. What right do I have to hear that Jesus died for me every year, when not even once people around the world have heard that Christ came for the first time? Christmas time, I come and sing to you, Jesus was born. You sing to me, Jesus was born. As if we don't know. But there are millions of people outside, we have never heard the gospel. Who is going there? Am I not responsible for that as a church? My dear brothers and sisters, we need to be bothered about these people. 41.4% of the world population has not heard the gospel. Look at this figure. The ends of the earth means, I don't want to repeat the names of this country, sensitive names. That is the population where you have least number of Christians. But still, nobody is there to go. As an agency, as SIM, we are trying to send people to these areas. Either people are not ready to go here, or people are not ready to be sent. You know, I'm challenged. My heart breaks when I see this. Look at this. Countries with most unreached people groups. So what is happening? Mission is happening, but mission is misaligned. Misaligned. What it means? Only 3% of the international missionaries go to the unreached people group, who compose 40% of the global population. 40% is a very small population, but only 3% is going to reach the 40%. 97% of the missionaries are sent to people who have already heard the gospel. So the evangelized are being re-evangelized. The baptized are being re-baptized. But the people who have not heard the gospel remain unsaved. Is it fair? As SIM, have I failed? That's a question I'm asking myself. What have I done as the regional director of SIM? Have I been able to send people to the right place to do the right work? Look at this figure. 3.34 billion unreached people group. You know how many missionaries are there? 15,000 missionaries. But reached people, 4.57 billion, 435,000 missionaries are there. Where people should need not be, there they are. Where missionaries need to be, there they are not. Mission misaligned. My dear brothers, so how do we do? I'm coming to the last part. I know that you want me to stop soon. You've heard enough. How? By sending missionaries where Christ is not known. The need of the hour is Hudson Taylor. The need of the hour is William Carey. The need of the hour is Walter Bingham. We need people like them. We need Adoniram Judsons in our churches who are ready to go. There are people who are not ready to go. My dear brothers, you can only be going or sending or disobeying. If God has called you to go, don't stay back. If God has called you to stay, don't go. That's a statement that I always make. Christ is not known. There we need pioneers. Gospel is preached. People are saved. There we need parents, spiritual parents who know how to disciple others. And where church is formed on the mission field, we need to transform them into missional churches. But it is not happening. We have a group of people jumping and dancing, but still feeding themselves. They're not bothered about their own community. And missional churches, when they are produced, we raise missionaries. This is what I have been doing in the last 10 years in Africa, which I want to continue to do next year when I return, till the last breath in my body. That's my job. To be a pioneer, to be a parent, to produce missional churches, and to create opportunities for people on the mission field to participate in world missions. You know, what shocked me was, what I could not do for many years, God did in 5 years from 2015 to 2020 in Malawi. I went as a single man, and all my colleagues said, you cannot do anything. Africa is poor. But the Lord told me, Africa is an untapped gold mine. When I shared this with many people, they did not believe. But let me tell you, when I left Africa in 2020, there were 4 African missionaries who became part of SIM. Yesterday, I received a message. One of them is going to become the SIM Malawi director. If I had not gone, this would not have happened. So now you tell me whether I should go or stay back. I should go back so that I can raise more people. The need is so much in the harvest field. So what must the modern church do? They must raise pioneers, parents, and producers of missional church. My time is up. I'm going to finish. So church must send the right people. Mission has become anyone going anywhere, doing anything, anyhow. Let me repeat. Mission has become anyone going anywhere, doing anything, anyhow. No, that is not mission. What is mission? Mission is sending the right people by identifying, equipping, and releasing men and women who are ready to obey God's call, who are ready to grow in Christ's character, who are ready to be equipped with the capacities, who are ready to pay the cost, who are cooperative, not fighters, not fighting among themselves, fighting against the devil. Those who are committed, and those who are ready to complete God's given task in their life and finish well. My dear brothers and sisters, the need of the hour is such people who are ready to give everything. Missionaries are men and women of the cross, with the marks of the cross, carrying the cross and ready to die. People tell me, when you are young, you went to Africa. At this old age, you will have all health problems. What is the problem? If I die in Singapore and if I'm buried here, Singapore worms will eat my body. If I die in Africa and I'm buried there, the Africa worms will eat my body. It hardly makes any difference to me whether my body is eaten by Singapore worms or Africa worms. But I've completed my task. I've obeyed my call to my Lord. So the church will send missionaries to reach the lost. Antioch Church sent Paul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit revealed to the church leaders that they should set apart Paul and Barnabas. Who is the Paul and who is the Barnabas of PSPC at this moment? Are you the person? If you are the person, respond. In fact, it was not a direct call to Paul and Barnabas. It was a call mentioned to the church. In fact, many members come to us. Instead of members come to us, church should come to us and say, so and so is ready to go. Here is our Paul. Here is our Barnabas. Can you send them? My dear brothers, because the church leaders play a very, very critical role. The church sends. The church is ready to be listening to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. The church, which is led by the Holy Spirit, will send its best. You know, one of my colleagues said, there was a missionary commissioning service. After the commissioning service, the pastor came to my mission director and said, now the problem is yours. The guy was a problem in the church, and so he's released to become a missionary so that he can probe. So the problem of the church has become the problem of the mission agency. My dear brothers, we want Pauls. We want Barnabas. We want the best, not the least. Not people who have failed in the examination. Not people who are losers, but people who are successful. Paul and Barnabas were really, really successful men and women. Andrew Ng, who was a surgeon, his wife is sitting here. Young couple at the age of 27 or 28, they were ready to throw everything and go as missionaries to Niger. Why? They were ready to spend the best of their lives. Before you can tell me to stop, I'm going to stop. A man came to Hudson Taylor and he said, I want to go as a missionary to China. Hudson Taylor looked at him and he said, you have only one leg. How can you go? And the man said, two-legged men are not going. So I want to go. Why am I going back to Africa? Many are not ready to go. I am ready to go back to Africa to serve there, die there, and to be buried for my Savior who died for me on the cross. The missionary call comes to you. As an individual, as a church leader, as a congregation member, shall we respond to the call? Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. As a church, Lord, help us to do the ministry that your Son Jesus, submissive Son Jesus, did and asked us to do, that is to make disciples. And help us to do the mission that the Holy Spirit wants us to do, that is to send missionaries, to send pioneers, to send parents, spiritual parents and disciple makers, to send producers of missional churches on the mission field, and to send partners who are ready to open the door for the mission field people to participate in God's mission. We surrender, Lord, to obey your Son and your Spirit as a church. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.